Hey guys, here we are at Horror Movie Survival Guide. Nope, try that again.
That was great. That's really how it is, though, because you know what? We can't see each other right now, Julia, because we here at Horror Movie Survival Guide are recording remotely right now. So because of, you know, a little thing called the corona is going around. And so we are doing our part to shelter in place and stay safe and keep our social distance with our friends and family. And that includes our friends that we record with together.
Yeah, it's very weird to not be looking at your face while I'm doing this show because we are always right across the table from each other. Yep. But of course, we are in quarantine, as if in the horror movie ourselves, one might say, and here to do our best are trying to record from three different locations. Our producer Wes is also here.
So we just wanted to give you a little disclaimer and let you guys know that we are doing our best to give you the best sound and quality that we can with our equipment from home. So if it doesn't sound like the pod usually does, that's why. But we love you and we are still happy to give you content and bring out fresh shows each week as long as we can and it's feasible and possible. We do appreciate your support and your understanding.
Of course. And so, yes, just be a little generous with any technical glitches you might hear. We hope you know that we're trying to give you something to give you a little bit of cheer in this kind of dreary time. But we're here for you and we love you guys and we are so happy to have you as listeners. Stay safe and healthy and enjoy the show.
Horror Movie Survival Guide is a weekly podcast where I, Gorehound Julia Marchesi, delves into my horror movie notebook to corrupt another one of my longtime chums, Terry Gamble, who is hiding in the creepy horror closet.
My mission is to learn the gospel of horror movie survival and to incorporate Julia's wealth of wisdom to become a final girl disciple.
Join us as we take a deep dive into everything from OG horror
to newly released films,
but prefer the classics on VHS.
We'll talk about obscure details that no one else notices.
Spin off into alternate casting universes, crush on some dodgy, foxy fellows,
and creepy uncles, and arm ourselves with the knowledge necessary to become the final girl.
Welcome to Horror Movie Survival Guide, everybody.
I'm Julia. Just kidding. I'm Terry.
I'm Julia. This week we are talking about 2016's The Void.
The Void.
Title of this episode is No, You're Gonna Die. and the tagline for this movie is There is a Hell, This is Worse. I like it as a tagline.
I think that's pretty freaking accurate, actually, as far as taglines go. Yep, pretty much. This is a lot worse.
This was written and directed by Jeremy Gillespie and Stephen Kotensky. So we open the film. We have two men who are attacking a house, or there was some sort of altercation at a house.
Something went down. Yeah.
You're dropped in right in the middle of something bad going down. And so there are men who look like they're attacking people, but there's people running. There's a guy who runs off into the forest, but they end up shooting a girl and then pour gasoline on her and set her on fire. And you're like, wow. That's the opening. There we are.
It's like minute one. Okay. Yeah. This one's going to be intense. We're strapping in for this. It's going to be a wild ass ride, especially when they were like, yeah, that guy's not going to get very far. I was like, what's wrong with the people? Why aren't they letting them get very far? And why aren't they going to get very far?
Yes.
Are they all being chased? Who's being chased? Are these guys just evil or are they possessed? Lots of questions very, very fast.
I think that's the sign of a good movie, right? Yeah. And a great horror movie is like within the first minute, the intensity of the film is set. You know what you're in for, and you also have a billion questions and you're curious. So a great opening by any standard, one would say. We also see a mysterious white cloaked figure with a black triangle on its face.
And I was like, ooh, this looks racist. Then I was like, I don't know. I was like, is this a KKK like inspired look? It's not great.
It's like half KKK, half cult member, but leaning towards the cult member side. Although, honestly, I have to prefer multicolored cult robes. I'd say going for the all white's a little boring. Let's say that.
I agree. I like a red or some other like evil, ominous looking thing. And this is too, like, it's, you can see them too easily because they're obviously parading around at night a lot, these white cloaked people. So if you don't want to be seen, don't wear white.
Yes. So then we meet our sheriff, who is Daniel Carter, played by Aaron Poole. And he is, you can tell he's the small town sheriff. He doesn't have to ever have to deal with anything stressful. He's sleeping in his car. It's like, no big deal. Just going to chug on home. But then he finds the guy who had ran away in the middle of the road. He thinks he's drunk and he's going over, haha. Then it's like, oh no, something's really wrong with him. Gotta take him to the hospital.
Yeah, he's covered in blood, and that's like not what he thought it was going to be. He really just thought it was some kid who was partying. And I love it. Reminds me a little bit of like Slither, like that town, those town cops that are just like, mur, nur, nur, we got nothing going on. Like Mayberry RFD, you know what I mean, though? Kind of like vibe. And then we get these opening credits I love of like the remote. You can see what kind of town it really is. It's like so far out removed. You can tell hospitals are far. Everything's far to get to this kind of place. This is one of those kind of towns where the shopping center is probably like 20 miles away. You know what I mean? Like, kind of reminds me a little bit again of the Colorado Space when they were just out on the farm, and it's just like, how far are they going to get to a place? And
So they say that the modern hospital is quite far. There's one that's the town hospital. It's only 20 minutes away, but it's had a fire recently, so it's kind of closed down and there's only like limited access, but he wants to take him there, so he does. But right away you can tell when you go into a hospital and the lights are flickering in a horror movie, never a good sign. You just be like, don't go in the hospital.
It's a creepy ass hospital. Like, you're like country hospital, one doctor on duty, an angry intern, Kim, who she's just like,
who is Ellen Long? Who I was like, oh, it's Knives Chow from Scott Pilgrim.
She's great and like hates everything about what she's doing. Like, clearly, like, it's like, you know, when you sign up and you think you're going to go one place and get placed somewhere for your internship, but then you get this as your assignment. You thought you're going to get some fun city hospital probably. And she's like, nope. I got this like backwards ass place where they're actually having me do like things like files, like I don't know, clean up an old dirty hospital.
And then we only have two nurses, Beverly and then Allison, who we learn is Daniel's ex. So they have a little bit of a weirdness between
the sheriff and the nurse.
Kind of it. I would like to give a shout out that they are watching. One of the patients is watching Night of Living Dead on TV. So yay, Romero. Always a shout out for that. They also mentioned that Daniel and Allison, they mentioned quite early that they had lost a child together. So you know that there's like a big thing going on. So we find out that the guy who was brought in, his name is James, and he is a junkie. So he has track marks all over. You're like, wow, okay. So is it a drug thing? Maybe not.
Maybe not. Yeah. Or maybe that's the cover. I feel like that's one of those things where you're like, ooh, like nothing is as it seems. Like, are those puncture wounds? I was like, is it an alien inside his body? Like, what are those puncture wounds for? Like, I was like, what is it really?
Very something terrifying. Could be gestating inside of him. They handcuff him to his bed so he can't get away.
I was just saying, like, and they're talking about like while they're getting him, you know, admitted in there, they're like, statistically, you're more likely to die in a hospital than anywhere else. Like, they're not saying anything to calm this guy down, like, as they're checking him in.
No, not at all. So then we get into the hardcore action grotesqueness quite quickly when we come in. So James is freaking out. He is handcuffed to the bed, can't get away. And Beverly, the nurse, is peeling her face off very calmly, turns to the sheriff and says, this is not my face. It's not me. As she's like removing chunks from her face. And so it's just this horrible, like, what is wrong with her? There's something so horribly wrong with it, but what is it?
Yeah, and we got, like, a little premonition that there might be some, like, I was like, oh, there's going to be gory shit because, like, the scene, like, right before they had Kim sitting and talking with one of the patients and she was going through a medical journal of, like, you know, like, and they just looked about a thing called degloving where it's basically peeling off somebody's hand and their skin. And so I was like, oh, we're about to see something similar to that. And I was like, oh, they took it way further really, really quickly.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just a hand, it was a face off. And then it was also, she'd not only peeled her own face off, but she'd also punctured the eyes out of that patient that we had seen earlier when they were talking about degloving.
It's a very subtle term and it's a very horrible term all at once.
Degloving?
Like degloving. Yeah, it makes me think of a lady taking off her opera glove and simultaneously someone taking the skin off their hand. It's terrible.
It's what we call a double entendre. It has more than one meaning.
Thank you, Terry. Thank you.
No problem.
I learned so much on this podcast. So Daniel, the sheriff, starts to not feel well. He goes into the bathroom and he throws up, and then he seems to have a seizure during which he has strange visions. And
The stuff in the visions don't look good. It's like he's seeing like skin plasma torn apart, but then it's also seeing like, it looks like other worlds and like, you know, visions of the future and the past all at the same time. And I was like, oh no, this feels like a portal of some sort has been opened. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like within his mind, now he's given them access.
It is kind of like a Lovecraftian thing of like some kind of beast that is coming into your mind and warping it to their needs. So needless to say, they shoot Beverly with her face off because her face is off and she's
Daniel's got to shoot her.
But they can't get any. So Daniel, the state trooper shows up and sees that it's a clusterfuck and takes the sheriff's gun away.
So well, he's also an old family friend. So this is the Sheriff Mitchell. And he was like, yeah, I'm here to sort things out. That's his job. And because Daniel, I think, has not, it sounds like from everything before, since the divorce, and then also since like the baby passing away and all that stuff that's happened, he's not done a really great job, but there's also not a lot of work to do out there, it sounds like, either. So he doesn't have a lot of experience actually having to handle real problems. And I guess his dad was a really big wig back in the day, and Mitchell knows that about him. And
can I say how glad I am that they steered away from the dopey deputy stereotype in this film?
Yeah.
They always use them and they're always so terrible, and I'm glad there isn't one. We just have like two cops. They're pretty competent.
Yeah.
But they're just in a situation that's about over their pay grade, right? Like they just don't know what's going on.
Completely. And even like dealing with like this doctor who's also known him his whole life too, they all just know a little too much. It's just that small town thing of they all just know too much about each other. And so they're stepping over feet, you know, to try to handle the situation. But he does give him some license to be like, hey, he's like, hey, I want to call this in, this murder with Bev, like just because I feel like I need to do that. And he's like, yeah, you can do that. He actually gives him, Mitchell's like, yes, go ahead and call it in. So Carter goes to try to call it in, but the phone, as we know in any horror movie, I was like, oh no, communication's not working already. Womp, womp.
So he goes out to his car because he has his radio to go talk to the station in his car, but the police radio is also not working. So then he looks out his windshield and sees another one of the white robe figures. And I love this, that he just gets out of the car and just goes, hi. That's all he has. Like, hi.
And as he like stabs him, and then hello. And then he's like, I shall stab.
Well, there's this crazy loud noise. It sounds like an incredibly loud horn, like as if an angel was blowing a horn, perhaps, like over the whole world, that sort of noise. And then all the lights go out. So he has to stab, and but then there's more of them. Now there's like a passel of them.
Like a whole field. Of white
That's not something
dudes
you ever want to see in any situation. So then we cut back to Beverly, dead body, who now we got a little something come out of her mouth.
It's so cute, right? She's got a little something, like it's like a little like bug, and it's like pincers. Is it an alien? Is it a thing? Oh, it looks like a big like tarantula coming out of her body.
It's terrifying.
Out of her mouth. I was like, oh, how cute.
So then they bring Carter back in, who has been stabbed pretty badly right above his heart, right? He's like on the left side, like pretty good in the shoulder.
It's a good old stab.
So the doctor just gives him surgery on the floor, just on the floor. And I was like, wow, go doctor. Like, he's just not fucking around, right?
Nah.
He was like, okay.
And this is like a cacophony of stuff happening all kind of at the same time. This is like, I like the way I had my notes was like, it was like one of those brain mind maps, you know, it's like, these different quadrants. Cause it's like, and this monster, I tried to make it sound cute. It's not cute. Like that's coming out of Bev. It's like a full grown, like the thing, like coming out of her, like full on.
A lot of these effects are very Rabutin in the thing. And I ain't mad at it.
Yes, very well done. And so it's like a human-sized spider basically coming out of her body. There's a standoff between those guys that we saw originally from the beginning of the movie as well, who were running out from that house and who had set that girl on fire and who were going to chase that guy through the woods are now at the hospital as well. And they're demanding to see James because that they chased him all the way to the hospital. And then, the doctor, you know, is dealing with stabbing. And then Mitchell all of a sudden in the midst of this, the old man sheriff who was coming to sort things out gets dragged away now. He was only there for but a scene.
I know. Poor guy.
Poor old dude. And he gets dragged away by the Bev monster now too. So
yeah, because he's a horror monster. And then we have all of these white robe figures who are now enclosing the entire hospital. So now they can't get out either.
And then we have Maggie, a pregnant, like teen pregnant girl with her like father or grandfather, Ben, who's like hanging out there. And you're like, it's like, who's the papa? We don't talk about that. I was like, is this some weird incest thing? Like what's going on with this family? So there's a lot of really disparate and very uncomfortable things in a very small space.
Yes, so all happening simultaneously. Mm-hmm. But it's well, really well done as far as like building tension and feeling like all of these are happening at the same time. Really good. James eventually gets into this crazy hostage situation where he grabs the pregnant girl as his hostage and he has a scalpel in his hand. But he ends up stabbing the doctor in the neck with the scalpel, which you're like, don't stab the doctor, man. They need the doctor.
But he doesn't trust the doctor. And you got to remember, yeah. And James has seen some things like through that, whatever situation he was running from. So there's something about the doctor he did not trust.
Mm-mm. So then they have the monster that is like grab Mitchell. And now they the only gun they have is the rifle, which is in the cop car. So now they need to go back out to get the cop car to get the rifle because the gentleman. So I love that the gentleman from the beginning, their actual character names are the father and the son, that they don't have names.
I was wondering, so I was like, I just was like, the guys. That's what I wrote in my notes. I was like, it's just the guys.
I was like, the older guy and the mute kid. That's all I got.
Yeah. And they battle, they come back and they try to battle that, the monster thing. And they have like the swinging strobe light effect. I think that was really cool in that hospital. Yeah.
So now the pregnant girl is starting to have her baby and is not doing well. She's freaked out because of everything happening outside, seems to be freaking out. On the inside, they can't get her. They can't move her because she's bleeding to an operating room. So they need to do stuff right there on the floor. Allison wants to go to the supply room because they don't have the stuff they need. So she says she'll wait for Carter while he goes out to the car, but of course does not wait for Carter and goes by herself. Movie survival guide tip. I know the time is dear. I get it.
The timing's dear. And also, so like you said earlier, the reason that this is so hard for her, she's lost a child and she doesn't want to see this kid lose her child because the girl is really worried. Maggie's really worried about losing her baby, but she's in a lot of pain. And Maggie knows that once you have this type of pain in birth like this is not normal pain that the girl is experiencing. This is like your baby might be dying inside of you. So either we say, the girl and she needs to get medicine because she needs to give her some sort of antiseptic because if you don't, she could go into shock and die if you try to perform the surgery without any anesthesia. So it's a really dire situation. So she's not being full stupid horror movie stupid by going by herself, but it's also like if she'd just waited maybe two more minutes, she probably would have had him to like walk with her and might be a little bit safer.
Sure. So that means that she has to leave Kim in charge of Maggie, who is an intern who is still like reading her textbooks, right? She's like in no way any sort of doctor of any kind.
And she hasn't had any practice. Remember, in this country bumpkin hospital, she's literally just been like packing up stuff since the fire and like they've been putting everything in storage. So she doesn't even need, you know.
So it's basically if like you or I had read a couple of medical textbooks, like that's the level she's at, right?
Completely. Like, and you can tell she probably didn't pay, like she probably did not pay a lot of attention in class. She does not strike me as the studious type either at all.
So Daniel come back in and they've got the gun to come back in and they have to search for Allison. So they end up going on this incredible hunt for her. And they have walkie talkies that they're getting with Kim because they don't know the layout of the hospital and they need to go find where she is. They get into the doctor's office and the phone rings, which is odd since the phones aren't connected. And it's the doctor, the dead doctor, calling from the morgue, telling them that you want to come on down here. I got something for you down here. They also find some Polaroids of very, very terrible cult-esque escapades. Well,
the father and son find the Polaroids, and I was so annoyed because Carter
didn't, they don't share.
They didn't share, and Carter didn't get to see. And literally, it was like all the clues. Like, it was like, if you're wondering what these like white robe people do when they're, you know, not standing outside trying to stab you, like, this is exactly what's happening. And it's just all these Polaroids of filleted flesh and like experiments looking like they've gone wrong. It's like degloving, but real life, you know, not just diagrams and pictures, like actual.
And of course, a book of, you know, terrible looking pentagrams and diagrams, as if you were calling up demons and whatnot. The father and son, father does not share this information with the sheriff. Probably would have saved him a lot of time, because now we know somehow the doctor's connected to this whole shenanigans because he has this stuff in his office.
It's the missing link. And then, but on the phone, he's trying to convince Carter, you know, as he, with this creepy voice that he's got now, yes, but I'm doing everything. He says, my intentions are altruistic. He feels like he's, whatever he's doing, he's got that, you know, twang that we love to talk about, that scientist, like, I'm doing this for the greater good. It shall all be fine. You know, Pretorius, like from beyond, like whatever, like, kind of like moment. Then there was that photo of Richard and Sarah. We see the doctor and his daughter, who was also passed on. And we found out about that earlier too. So there's a lot of people that are dealing with loss and having lost somebody and wanting to maybe resurrect or connect back with them somehow.
But James, the junkie, says that he had seen them do rituals, and they made him watch do these terrible things. And he saw people change. So they force him to go with them into the morgue on this field quest. And Kim is trying to tell them, but there's only one staircase, but they find this other staircase. You're like, no, man, don't go down that staircase. If she says there's only one, there shouldn't be another one.
And there shouldn't be one where it is.
And it's like, now it's stone and like mossy on the sides and stuff. And you're like, no, please don't go down there.
It's like a dungeon portal. Do you know what I mean though? Like, you're like, oh, I'm going into a dungeon now, but it's a hospital. Okay. This hospital's fucking weird.
And we cut to also, Allison is now strapped down on an operating table. They're showing the doctor from the back. So you're like, okay, there's something wrong with his face. We don't see his face for a long time, but he's trying to soothe her and telling about how
he's. But we do see him dropping some skin and some shards of things into like a basin in front of him. So we don't see his face, but we see his hands dropping this pieces. I was like, oh.
So he says he's like, he's been studying his own transformation, and he's very excited for her to be a part of it. But he,
and he's alive and he's experiencing more sense of release. He says, it's going to be amazing. And he's like letting her know that she's going to be part of that. And he's talking about like moths and caterpillars and like, you know, basically like how things change. And you're just like, oh no, he put her in a cocoon, I guess. Cause I don't know what she's going to change into now. Cause he's got her strapped underneath this blanket that we can't see what happened underneath there.
Yeah. But then he pulls the blanket back and we see her stomach and there's stuff in there, stuff moving around in there. It doesn't look human. It looks terrible.
It looks like bad alien babies are in her belly now. Cute.
Yeah. Meanwhile, they find down in the basement, there's all of the past experiments, the failed experiments that doctor has done are down in this crazy, crazy basement.
Yeah. It's like a bad meat locker. You know what I mean though? Where it's like, oh, like I'm learning how to be a butcher, but I'm not good at it. That's what it looks like.
Yeah.
But it's
and here
humans.
Are the fail. Yes. And that, you know, they can tell that it smells really bad and they find this black, this door with the black triangle on it. And you're like, don't
not
go in that door.
Bad. They say it smells like a grave. And I was like, oh yeah.
I hope I'd never smell that. I don't know what that smells like. And I'm really glad.
I am also really glad. I don't know what that smells like either. And I would like to keep it that way as well, but they like, and it's kind of cool. The lighting they do in this, I love because, the son, of the father son duo lights up a flare. And so it's all red. So
again, like, another nice thing callback.
Yeah. And it looks like hell, you know what I mean though? So, and they call it the rat's maze down here. Cause that's just kind of what it looks like. It's like catacombs, you know, just grossness. So
we think that all of these failed experiments are dead, but they are not. They are not dead.
No,
they are
dead,
undead,
but they can be reanimated.
We still haven't done it for the show, you know, Reanimator.
You haven't? I thought you guys did.
I
thought that was in the before times. Okay, well then we should do that.
All right.
On the list.
I'll double check, but I don't think so. So one of these horrible beasts is just smashing its face into a spike repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And when he pulls away, there's just a hole in his face where the spike had been. So these are kind of those monsters where you're like, oh, well, I can't really kill you because you're already dead. So what do I do with that? And they're very low on bullets. So
yeah,
they don't want to
shooting, but it's like waste. Yeah.
So meanwhile, upstairs, Maggie's looks like she's kind of dying and they want Kim to perform a C-section on her. And she's just like looking in her book, right? She's just looking in her textbook and they're like, what they say about them in their textbook. She's like, I can't do that. I'm reading it and I have to like cut her stomach open. I can't
fucking do
it.
She's holding the scalpel like above the belly, like, okay, like trying to like psych herself up. There's like Grandpa Ben being like, you got to operate on my girl Maggie here. And she's when Kim is like, this is literally way above my pay grade. Like, he's like, well, you're the only one who couldn't do it. She's just like, no, I actually can't. Like, I cannot do this.
Because they had gotten her some drugs and so they've shot Maggie up with something, but it's a whole terrible mess. So there's all sorts of levels of distress going on in this hospital. So we cut back and, there's a, like this horrible upside down monster. How do you explain it? There's one with like a person in a back bend, but the face is turned around the other way.
Yeah, it reminded me a little bit of the Ritual kind of monster. Like, you're like, where's the face? Oh, it's there? That looks like a weird spot for a face. You know, like, that's kind of what it is. But it is a little bit Pan's Labyrinth-y too, you know what I mean? Though, of like some like weird Doug Jonesy like contortion happening of this like thing.
So suddenly Maggie is suddenly back to life, kills Grandpa, and
like slits his throat. Like,
yeah, but it is a very, you know, with still like, she's so sweet looking and she still has this very sweet look on her face as she's just killing him. So Kim runs and is hiding in the closet because now the robe figures have gotten inside the hospital. And we find out that, Maggie is the father of Maggie's baby is the doctor.
Yeah, Dr. Richard Paul. We're guessing that she's got the same thing going on that Allison just had put into her, or something to that effect. So now that they're all pregnant with whatever the hell this alien thing is. And Daniel now in this moment finds Allison down in the basement, and she does not look great, but he doesn't see that. What he sees is like, oh, she's like pregnant again. And like, he holds her hand and it looks all beautiful from his point of view. But then when you realize what he's actually seeing, his mind has been like fucked with, is like, she's actually got like full like tentacles, like exploding out of her body all over the room. Mm-hmm. And she's
like Cthulhu is coming out of your stomach kind of.
Yeah. Full on. Yep. And she's the mother now of Beast, and it's super gross. And he realizes he has to kill her. And then he talks about what he thinks with the doctors, like, well, you could be a family. And now she's a mother and all this stuff. And she's like, no. All I see is a monster over there. That's you, dude, Dr. Paul, who thinks that he's God.
Yeah. And we also the father and the son have a battle where, and again, like gets into his mind, and now the son sees he's like in his house with his family, and his dad's gone insane. So he ends up stabbing his dad with a flare. Pretty gnarly. So then we go to the grand finale down in the morgue, I think, where there's the black lit up triangle on the wall, and Doctor comes out and he's a very Uncle Frank in Hellraiser kind of like stripped down, all the skin's gone. He's transformed into his godlike thing.
That's
also
like way hotter now.
Yeah, he is. Which is sad to say because he has no skin, so dubious.
Kind of into it. Yeah, I was like, oh yeah.
But also like Mark Strong at the end of Sunshine, where like he's in this like altered now. He's in this godlike state, right?
Totally. When he's like, no, he says he's even older than God. He's like, this is older than God. The forces that I'm dealing with, these are the like beyond elder gods. This is older than time. This force that I've connected and tapped into. I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, watch the abyss open itself into me. And you're like, okay, this is bad. So Maggie stabs Daniel. So now Daniel's down on the floor. They've kind of counted him for dead, but he's watching this whole thing in a, and the baby. So Maggie comes up and it looks very sweet. You know, she's going to have his baby and he's so excited. And like, she's calling his daughter back from the abyss. Mm-hmm. She's so happy. But little does she know that the baby's just going to burst the fuck out of her and kill her immediately. And is born into this very large monster that could in no way fit inside of a human, but somehow did. And is now on the rampage.
It's like when a spider leaves the egg sac though. You're like, whoa, that was in there. It like unfurls itself out. That's basically what it Julia's like, nope.
I've never watched baby spiders being born, and I never fucking will, because that'll give me the willies like you wouldn't believe.
Look, there's like a gajillion in there, and you're like, how'd that all fit in there? And they just all kind of roll on out and unfurl themselves. Unfurl.
Degloving. Fuck off.
So Dr. Paul like joins the infinite astral plane. Basically, he like steps into like the triangle, moves away, and it's like this infinite looking seeming beam of light. And all of a sudden, like he like disintegrates, like, and becomes one with like the whatever this force is.
And, so Daniel wakes up enough to shoot the baby monster and flare that thing up, and then ends up crawling into an air duct to get away. Before that, Daniel axes the doctor. He decides he's gonna sacrifice himself to get rid of the doctor, and because the doctor's gonna fuck up the human race, and so pushes him into the abyss, and they're gone. So the son is alive and ends up finding Kim in the closet, and they are able to get away into the sunset.
Or not, because like they're both royally fucked up now. Like, I think it's interesting too, because like she's got the fire like axe and he's got the fire extinguisher, and they're just both like, they were about to like have to fight each other because they didn't know who was behind each other, and they're like, oh, we're alive. Oh my God, we're alive.
But I really enjoy, you know, you have this whole movie where you have this like mysterious other side, right? And you always want to see the other side. You never get to see the other side. And we get to see the other side. And it's pretty fucking cool. And you have Daniel and Allison, who are now both locked into the void for eternity, just holding hands, staring out into the void. And I'm like, right on.
Yeah, they got to be together. That was what Dr. Paul said, they would end up together forever. So just exactly how they thought they would too, I'm sure.
Oh yeah.
LOL. They had no idea that this was going to, how their day was going to end. What a crazy night.
I like that they went there, because I feel like most low budget horror films wouldn't, like, you would never know what happened. They're just disappeared. This is right. Like, oh no, you actually get to see this kind of, it's kind of a nice payoff. So then, we have movie ratings.
Some gore factor. Yeah.
You got yours?
I got it all.
All right, you do it. Baby cake.
So gore factor: 1, not enough blood to fill a Dixie cup. 2, a puddle of blood. 3, enough blood to gross out the average viewer. 4, a bathtub of blood. And 5, run for the barf bag. This was definitely a full 5, you guys. This movie is gory as all get out from the beginning. I mean, there's face peeling. There's degloving. I feel like I'm saying McLovin, like degloving. There's something for everybody. There's you know, basically decapitation. There's a lot of stabs.
Thing like horrible monsters. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's got it all.
Yeah, creepy corpses. Movie ratings. You want me to do that, or you got that, or what you got?
Please
oh my God, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Let's do it. Movie ratings, chainsaws actions. We got 1, if you're desperate. 2, barely qualifies as a horror film. 3, seen worse, seen better. 4, not too shabby. And 5, fantastic or cool. I was vacillating on this, because talking about it, I got more excited talking about it than I did watching it. I was really stressed this whole movie. I feel like it's a very stressful watch. Uh-huh. I gave it a 3 because I was like, I don't like how I feel right now.
Okay. I gave it a 3.5.
Okay.
So I liked it. It was fun and it was cool. It was a lot of pieces of a lot of other horror films kind of stuck together in a different way, which I kind of always enjoy. I'm like, please, you know, it's okay if you want to pull from other horror movies that you enjoy, just don't make a remake, please, because that's all I ask. So this is things from other horror movies brought together, and now it's new, and then now it's The Void. So next week, we are going to be talking about a movie we're both very excited to watch.
Yeah.
A movie from 1960. It is French. It is called Eyes Without a Face.
And I can't stop thinking about that Billy Idol song the whole time, whenever I hear that title.
That's all I think of is the Billy Idol song. But I'm sure the Billy Idol song is actually named after this film. So we're thinking about it backwards. So thank you so much for listening. We love talking about horror movies, as you probably can tell. We love talking about them with you. We do have a Patreon if you feel like subscribing and supporting the artists that you like. Please also find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And we will see you next week for Eyes Without a Face.
Hell yeah.